So we are continuing in this. And really, you know, what we were saying in a minute ago, I really feel like as I was sitting there praying and hearing these words, it's like, wow, you know, the thing that God put on my heart and where we're happen to be at really is the one of the things not understanding it is why a lot of people stay on the outside instead of coming into the inside. You know, God invites us into the Holy of Holies, which is in His presence. But a lot of times we just kind of feel stuck and we feel, you know, I'm not quite ready. I don't deserve it yet. And so we stay on the outside. So we're going to get into this. I want to start just a little intro. Some of you guys have heard me say this, but Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome. And the reality is he was trying to bring understanding because there was all kinds of weird views and theologies, understandings of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so Romans is so full of doctrine and theology. And honestly, we've been going a little bit deeper in Scripture than what we may normally do on a Sunday morning. But I hope that it's been helpful. Anybody been enjoying learning anything as we're going through this? Good answer, right? Even if you didn't, raise your hand. So I hope that you have. I'm going to cover real quick the last 3 weeks. I've been giving an I am statement each week. So if you missed one of them, I want to encourage you to go back, listen to it. I tell you guys all the time, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube. We got a podcast, Apple Podcast. You can type in Freedom Church, Cameron Park, and you can find it. And you can listen to it. But the first week we talked about I am unashamed of the gospel. Right, we don't have to walk in shame. We can be proud that we are a follower of the King of Kings. Amen. The second week, I am done with excuses. The reason we get done with excuses is because what Christ did on the cross, we have no excuse to be other than who God called us to be. Amen. Last week, I talked about living by faith. And if you missed that one, I really encourage you to go back because that is, if we're not walking in faith, then we're usually walking in fear. And I think especially when you see where our world is right now, it's easy to be in fear. And we don't have to be afraid of the things that this world has. We walk by faith. So I'm going to pick up where we left off last week, Romans 4:18. And I touched on this subject a little bit, but I really want to go a little bit deeper into it. And we're going to be talking about Abraham. He's known as the father of our faith. He came about way before the law ever existed, and so his walk was a walk of faith. And so I'm going to start with Romans 4:18, and I always love how this starts out. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So what he's saying is like, there's no hope, but guess what? I still have hope, right? Even though all the circumstances say there's no hope, And he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. And then verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts that his body was good as dead. Remember, we talked about this last week. We don't faith doesn't deny the facts. Like if the doctor says, oh, you got this and you got this terminal, it's like, no, I'm not going to confess that. No, it's like, I can face the facts. Here's the thing. The way faith faces that is that we don't let the facts of our circumstance be the final determination. Amen? Like it may say, well, you have this. It's like, well, that's what you say. That may be a fact, but I got a God that raises the dead. Amen. I got a God that can walk on waters. I serve a God that can heal the leper and the blind and the lame. So, yeah, that may be a fact, but there's a supernatural fact that you've got to insert in there. Amen. So he said he faced the fact since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. She was 90. Not a lot of 90-year-olds having babies, right? And it says, but he didn't waver in his faith through unbelief. Regarding the promise of God. But look, instead of wavering, he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. How many of you are fully persuaded that God can do what he said he's going to do? Yeah. Amen? So I don't know. Some of you guys may need to hear this. You may be going and you may have received a promise from God and you're like, oh no, God, I don't know if it's going to happen. Maybe it's been amount of time that has passed. But listen, God can make it happen and God will happen. I believe that. Let's go on. Verse 22. That is why the scripture, because he believed, because he didn't waver, it says it was credited to him as righteousness. And the words that was credited to him were not written just for Abraham. Look what it says. But also for us. Everybody say for me.
For me.
For me, right? To whom God will credit righteousness for those who do what? Believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So here's the I am statement. And this is where we're going to be going today. I am made righteous. Notice I didn't say I become righteous. There's a difference in that. I am, even if you don't feel righteous, right? You don't have to raise your hand, but there's times we just don't feel very righteous, right? Maybe if you've lost it and you're upset and you're mad and that person cut you off and you did some things you shouldn't have, it's like, okay, I feel anything but righteous right now. Or maybe you're not always acting righteous. Maybe people may look at your life and they say, you are so far from righteous. Right. You got a long ways to go. Listen, I want to show you in Scripture that when you put your faith in Christ, your belief in him, that there is a righteousness that Christ imparts into you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That you didn't do. It really, listen, it becomes your new identity. Like, this is who I am, not my old nature. The Bible says the old nature is gone and the new nature is here. And the problem is sometimes we still act like our old nature, but we've got to understand that's not who we are. Amen. Our old nature is not who we are anymore. You don't get to switch back and forth like, okay, well, I'm my old nature. Well, Sunday's coming along. I better get saved again, right? You don't change it like you change your clothes. Amen? So he says this in verse 24. He says, it's going to be credited for those of us that believe. In other words, we don't have righteousness. God credits it to our account. And for us to be able to understand that word, that Greek word of credit, really it's like a math calculation or financial analysis. And so it's a financial term. And we kind of understand when you get credit, that means you get something that you didn't have before. Right, we understand credit cards. That's a little bit different. They're like, hey, listen, you can spend up to $20,000 with 39% interest. Guess what? You still have to pay it back. Right? The credit that God gives us, we can't pay back, and we don't have to pay back. Right? God credits righteousness into our account. It's like if you have your bank account and you got like $38 in it, and you're like, oh man, I'm going to go try to get 20 bucks out of my account. And all of a sudden you see your balance is $1 billion. Right? You're like, the bank did something wrong. Right? How many of you would like just go and talk to the bank, or would you get as much money out as you could? Right? No, don't raise your hand on that. Before they fix it, right? Here's the thing. God credits spiritually. You realize without Christ, we were all spiritually bankrupt. Overdrawn big time, am I right? And it's like, okay, I've got no righteousness in my account. But then when you accept Jesus, God credits your account with the blood of Jesus, and now you have an unsurmountable amount of righteousness in you. It's like it's in my account. I didn't do anything to deserve it, but other than just putting my belief in him. That's all it takes. In order to get that kind of credit, you've got to put your trust in him. Amen? So what is righteousness? Just the definition again. It is right standing with God. That when I am declared righteous, that means there is nothing hindering between me and God. I am righteous before him. And you know, we were before that, we were disconnected. We are separated. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. And like I said, we were spiritually bankrupt. But when we put our faith in him, now we are standing right with him. And this is such a crucial topic. Do you realize that Romans talks about righteousness 35 times in the book of Romans? That's quite a bit, right? How many of you know when there's repetition, there's a reason? Because sometimes it's like you hear it once. Oh man, I got to hear it again. I got to hear it again. It takes the thicker your head, how many of you know, the slower it takes to get through, right? How many of you got some thick heads, right? Because it's like, yeah, how many of your neighbors got a thick head? Point, no, I'm just kidding. So here's a reason I believe that God does that. I believe that God knew that us as human beings, that we will struggle sometimes with our identity. We have these identity crises, and that we would constantly begin to identify ourselves with our past issues, with our past mistakes, maybe with a diagnosis. Oh, I got this diagnosis. And we identify with these other things, and we hear people say things like this: well, this is just who I am. This is just who I am. You know what? I'm Irish. I'm going to fight. You know, that's just who I am, right? I'm not Irish. But Paul, let me tell you, Paul constantly corrects that, saying, no, you are not your past. You are not those mistakes. You're not that sin. You're not your issues. He says, you are a new creation in Christ. Amen? You are righteous. And he's saying, listen, take hold of it. This is your new nature. And I believe that once we begin to believe it, once the more we begin to understand it, then things in our life change in a natural way instead of having to force it. And listen, this is good news. This is good news. Did you hear? Your identity is no longer who you were. It's no longer. We've got to let that go. And maybe you're at the point where you don't look at it anymore. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of Christians that still struggle with their failures and all of that stuff and just thinking, that's who I am. That's who I am. The whole world wants to label you, don't they? Based off of, you know, oh, how you feel. I mean, there's mornings that you just don't wake up feeling very righteous. Am I right? Right? Who gets more righteous after your first cup of coffee? No, I'm just... just kidding there. But based off of how we think, we can think the wrong way. When we allow the things of the world to give us our identity, we got to realize that's coming from a broken and fallen world. Why would I allow a broken and fallen world to tell me who I am? Right? I've got to allow God. God says I am righteous. I can have right standing with him. I mean, it's like if you get, you know, you committed some crime or whatever, and this isn't the perfect analogy, but you have this warrant and you go into court and you're like, oh no, and you hear the judge, he's like dropping the hammer on everybody. Like, you know, 2 years in jail, everybody's going to jail. And you're like, you're nervous coming up there, and he pulls up your thing and he's like, oh, well, somebody paid your fine. You're free to go. Right? You're off the hook. How many of you know that is a God thing, right? You are made righteous. It's like it's different in your life when you realize, hey, listen, I'm not on the hook for anything anymore. God has forgiven me. And so when we, you know, we took communion earlier, and I was going to do it at the end, but it was good right there as well. But I want you to understand that just because righteousness is a free gift to us, how many of you know somebody paid the price for it? Right? Christ paid the price for it. That's why we do things like communion, because we have to remember the price that was paid that I could be righteous. Amen? So I want to give you a few keys today on righteousness. Fill-ins in your note. Number one, righteousness, it is not achieved by works. It is received through faith. And let me just say, this is so ingrained in our culture that everything is achieved by works. Oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. I'm going to make my way. I mean, I hear people say, even Christians, you know, I'm right with God because I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't hang out with people to do. I give my money, I serve, and yes, I feel guilty. I have no fun. I'm miserable. Therefore, God must be pleased with me. You're like, wait a minute, what? Because they're like, oh yeah, you're not supposed to be happy as a Christian. You're not supposed to have any fun. What's going on? You don't do anything good. That's crazy, isn't it? If people say, you know, if you ask people in the street, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? How many of you know most times if they don't know that Jesus paid the way, they're going to list off some of the things that they've done and they haven't done. Well, I haven't killed anybody. Well, good job, right? I haven't done this. And you know what? I gave some money to the guy standing on the side of the road, and I did this and I did that. So we start listing off the things we've done and the things we haven't done. How many of you know that doesn't work? Right? God's not up there with a scorecard saying, oh man, that, you know, yeah, I'm checking that one off. That was really good. You gave Pastor Scott $1,000. Oh yeah, two checks for that right there. Just, you know, I'm not saying anything, but anyway. Here's a verse that I want to give you out of Isaiah 64. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts, how many of our righteous acts? All. are like filthy rags. Now, some of you guys know what the Hebrew translation of that is. It's ridiculously strong language that I'm not going to really go into detail. Yeah, but basically, he's saying it's like a used feminine product. That's what that word filthy rags is right there. I know that's disgusting. But there's a reason that that is like that, because God is trying to say, you can do whatever you think. You can get all the positive checks you think in your life, but our righteousness doesn't do us any favor. I'm sorry, but I'm just giving you the Bible here, right? And throwing in the Hebrew. I didn't describe anything. But here's the thing. Here's the idea. Whatever you do, it's not going to help you out. Right? It's not going to get you. There's nothing that we do that we can boast about. Oh, man, I did this. You know what? And I did that. You know, when the Lord looks at our righteous acts apart from Christ, it's filthy. It's filthy. Listen, this is the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. When people are like, well, what's so different about Christianity? Here's the fill-in. Every religion teaches that man does the work to reunite with God. Like, sin separates us. We understand that. And it's like, you got to build the bridge to get back to God. You got to do all these works. You got to do all these things. You got to make sure that you do all of that. Work hard enough, give enough, serve enough, act the right way. Don't do a whole lot of other things. And then you'll be right with God. How many of you know the only problem with that is that you never really know if you've done enough? Did I do enough? I feel like I've been doing really good this week, and then you have a bad week the next week, and it's like, I got to start all over again. Right? What a miserable way to live. And I hear people say, you know, oh, like Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses, they're so faithful. Well, if you realize what they're doing is earning their way into heaven, because that's what they're taught, that's why they're out there. Right? That's why if I told you that the only way you're going to get to heaven is if you knock on all these doors and you do that, let me tell you, we would be, oh man, I better do that. I mean, you can really manipulate and guilt people in that way. I want to tell you, true Christianity is not achieved by works. It is received by faith. And so that's the other fill-in. It teaches us that God is the one that did the work to reunite with man. Amen? God is the one that did the work. It's His work. It's not our work. It's what He did. How do I know that that's true? Well, look at Romans 5:8. It says, God demonstrated His own love for us that when we got our act together, Christ died for us. It doesn't say that, does it? While we were still sinners, while we were filthy rags, let me put it that way, Christ died for us. He's like, you guys are an absolute mess. I better do something to rescue you, because you cannot build the bridge back to me. Amen. Amen. And so God sent His Son. He's not like, you know what, when you get clean and sober, when you get some of these other issues in your life taken care of, then you can get righteousness. That's not how it works. Jesus came down. He did the work for us. And what is our part? Let's go back to verse 24. For us who believe. It's just putting our faith in Christ, and that does it. So Jesus' work was the cross. Jesus went to the cross. He did that work. Our belief is put our trust in Him. Yes. How many of you know that's a whole lot easier? What? You mean there's no hoops to jump through? I don't have to do all that? I don't have to do that? No, you put your faith in Him, and in righteousness is imparted to you. Amen? Look what a verse says in Romans 5:17. For if the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. Who is that one man he's talking about? Adam, right? How many of you want to have some words with Adam when we get to heaven? Right? No, I'm just kidding, right? Like, we're going to give Adam the side eye when we walk past him, like, you know. Anyway, I'm just kidding. It'll be different there. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and, check it out, the gift of righteousness reign in their life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week I talked about how faith is a gift. Guess what? Righteousness is a gift too. And remember what I said? If it's a gift, it means you didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. But God gave it to us anyway. And that is that right standing with Him. How do we get right? It's through faith. Yeah. It's simply through faith, when we place our faith in Him. Now, let me just say this, because this might mess up some people's theology, but I think it's important for you to understand that if you are a new Christian, let's say you give your life to Jesus today, the very first day, do you realize you are just as righteous as somebody who's been serving the Lord for 50 years? I want you to think about that. You are just as right. I mean, you may look like a mess, right? I mean, we're all pretty messy coming to Him. But how many of you know there is not, let me just give you the fill-in in the notes here. Righteousness is not on a sliding scale. It is a solidified identity given at the moment of faith in Christ. Right? That is who you are. It's not like, ooh, you're doing God. You're getting more righteous. You're getting more righteous. No. Either we have the righteousness of Christ or we don't. That's the only options right there. And I know it's hard for people to get their mind around because we're like, okay, well, I'm saved. I don't know how I can be righteous because I have this issue, I got this issue, and I still got this issue. And so we got all of these issues. And guess what? When you start thinking that way and you start thinking, I don't know if I can be righteous, what you're doing is you're taking your identity back again to the past. And we tell God, well, God, I know one of these days I'll be there once I get all these taken care of. That's not how it works. God, your identity is the finished work of Christ on the cross. And that is finished, right? And if people look at you and think, you're a Christian? Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, I told part of my testimony a few weeks ago how, you know, I was a junior in high school, gave my life to the Lord. I ended up wearing a Christian t-shirt. If you guys remember, the girl in front of me turned around and looked at me like, you're a Christian? Like perplexed on her face. And let me tell you, I didn't understand my identity in Christ because I gave my life to the Lord. I was baptized, but I was still I was still a mess. I was still living not great with the Lord. And so I actually agreed with her and I'm like, you're right. I'm a horrible Christian. And I walked out of that classroom walking away with guilt and condemnation because I didn't understand who I was in Christ. I thought I was that failure. I thought I was that one. I didn't know how to answer that to say, you know what? I'm right with God, not because I'm acting right, but because I put my faith in Him.
Yes.
Amen. That's where it is. That's the difference between Christianity and the rest of the world, right? Our faith, my faith is not in my ability to achieve righteousness. My faith is in Him, right? What do we put your faith in? I put it in Christ because He's the one that paid the way. And it's like, oh, but you did this. Yeah, but He built it all the way. His bridge made it all the way. If your faith is in who you are and your ability to achieve it, can I just say you're doomed? Like, oh, Lord, don't put it. I don't want my faith in me. I want it in Him. Amen. So here's the thing. We have right standing with God because we've placed our faith in Him. I want to go to number two. The more your new nature is discovered, the more you are delivered. Now, I want to make sure that we kind of go slow. Because if I asked you today, like, how many of you guys still have issues? How many of you, you know, raise your hand? Maybe three or four of you. If your neighbor had issues, point to them. Raise your hand. Right? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Randy's pointing at Robert back there. So, how many of you know we all have sin issues still, right? Maybe outwardly you've gotten the good ones, you know, the bad ones taken care of. Maybe you cleaned up your language and some of those other things. But how many of you know we still have issues in our heart? Sometimes we have bad attitudes, right? Sometimes we get a little judgy. And I know, you know, when the only time we're allowed to be judgy here at Freedom Church is when we're judging chili, okay? So that's okay right there. But here's the thing, we still struggle, and then our struggle is like there's a disconnect in our mind because we can't seem to figure out, how am I righteous and I still have sin issues? I'm righteous, but I'm struggling here. Let me give you a little example, and I'm going to give you a picture of when Pastor Colleen and I were 12, and we got married a little over 36 years ago. Look at that, no beard right there, and... here's the thing. Pastor Colleen's life, and I said this in the first service, so you don't have to tell me, but her life changed drastically 36 years ago for the good. And but I'm just saying, so did mine, okay? But here's the thing. Hers changed because her name changed. She went from being a Robinson to a Williams. And just because her name changed, how many of you know that doesn't mean behaviors and thought processes changed? Right? At 22 years old, there are patterns, and that was in my life and in her life. There were certain processes and the way that our families instill thinking in our life. Isn't that true? Like how you grew up, that's how I act. Right? That's what I learned. You learn it from your dad, from your mom. Just how, and I'm not saying it's all bad, right? I mean, you learn good things. Hopefully you learn some good things. But it's just different, because how many of you that are married, you married into a family that was completely opposite of you? It's like, yeah, I see Stephanie's hand. She married into our family. So it was like, oh, yeah, you guys are crazy, right? And so 10 years ago, her... 10 years ago, her life changed drastically, too, and became a Williams. So, and where's Heather at? There she is right there. So all these changes becoming Williams. Now they're all crazy. So, but here's a, I'm totally got off of where I was going to say here. Families do things different, like handling conflict differently. How many of you know your family handled it one way? You married into a family? Like maybe you married into a family that unless things are flying in the air, you're not dealing with conflict. All right? Words are screaming and all of that. And then, you know, and you're like, well, you know, our family, we just don't really talk about it and push it under the rug. All right? How many of you know both ways are wrong? All right? But it's like, you know, why aren't you reacting this way? It's like handling conflict. Christmas traditions are different. All right, like it's like, how come you guys don't do this? It's like, this is what we do. And it's like, well, this is what we do. And somewhere along the line, you got to find some kind of a compromise. Or how about vacations? How many of you know families do vacations differently? How many of you are part of a family like when you go on vacation, it is event driven? On Monday, we're going to do this. On Tuesday, we're doing this. On Wednesday, we're doing this. You got all of these activities, all of these things lined up. And you know, for Pastor Colleen, I think for us, at this point in life, we're like, our vacation is no agenda. Yeah. Amen? It's chill. It's like, what are we going to do today? We're going to go to the beach and sit in there and listen to the waves. But what are we going to do? That's what we're going to do. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I don't like to go on vacation and come back and need a vacation from my vacation. Like, man, it was a busy vacation. And so, but here's the thing. If you got one family that's event driven and you got one family that's chill vision, it's going to conflict. And so just because Colleen had a new name, how many of you know it takes time to begin to walk in that pattern? It takes time for things to change. And so it is with the family of God, because your name changes automatically. When you accept Christ, do you realize you are fully a part of the family of God? Amen. Right? You're not like that stepchild that doesn't, we'll bring them along too, right? You're not that person. Sometimes people don't feel apart because their mindset is not quite there. But listen, you are fully grafted into the family of God. You are a part of it. And listen, your name changes immediately. You go from being an enemy of God to a friend of God, just like, I can't snap, but like that, right? Somebody snap for me. Yeah, just like that. That's how you become. You are now, we all have the same Father. Amen? And this is a big deal. Just because you had that experience, how many of you know, doesn't mean things have changed in your life. Right, there's still things that are going on. Let me show you from Scripture. Very common verse that we talk about, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then guess what? You are going to be saved. All right, how many of you know there's no such thing as half saved? No such thing as barely saved. I hear people joking around, you better watch out because I'm just barely saved today. No, you are saved. If you're saved, you're saved, right? That means God is in your life. And then verse 10, he says, for it is with your heart. Notice the locations of these. With your heart you believe and are justified. If you don't remember, I covered this the last couple of weeks. Justified means that you are just if you'd never sinned before. All right, that's what it means to be justified. So in my heart, all I got to do is believe and I'm already justified. But then he goes on, with your mouth you confessed and are saved. So I'm hoping I'm going to be able to explain this well. How is it that I'm justified and then saved? How does that? I believe there's two different things describing two different instances that take place in our life. So follow me. First one is salvation of your spirit. Right, your spirit is born again. The other, I believe, is a salvation of your body and your mind, and it happens afterwards. So you got to work that out. There's a term we use for it called sanctification. And I'm not going to throw more terms into you, so I'm going to try to keep it in this one term. But one of them happens just by belief alone. Your spirit man is born again. The other part begins to happen over time as that's worked out in your life. You begin to talk differently. You begin to start acting differently. You start processing things in life differently. And then you experience, maybe for a better word, is deliverance. Like you get delivered from some of your stinking thinking, am I right? You don't want to do some of those things anymore. So this is the fill-in in your notes. Salvation happens both immediately and incrementally. Does that make sense? Let me show you, because I think it'll make a lot of sense, because like I said, a lot of people struggle. Like, am I saved? Am I not? Do I need to get saved again? Let me show you how this happens. So salvation happens immediately in your spirit. The moment you accept Christ, and I'm not speaking this over anybody, but if you walked out the church this day and got killed or died or whatever, how many of you know you're fully going to heaven? God's like, well, you know what? They're pretty messy, so I'll just bring part of them up. No, you're fully going to heaven, amen, because you're there. And like I said, this is where people struggle, because they're saved and we still have sin issues. We still have problems going on in our life. And some of you guys know that feeling, because many times, we'll give an opportunity for people to receive Christ. And I've seen some of the same people, maybe some of you, you're like, well, man, I really, Monday I was doing good. Tuesday I was doing good. Then that jerk cut me off in traffic on Wednesday and some things came out of my mouth. And now you're thinking, oh, man, I got to get saved again this Sunday. Gotta get saved again. I blew it this week. And so we kind of get caught in that cycle right there. So here's what we need to understand. Happens immediately in your spirit. Incrementally, that deliverance happens in both your mind and your body. And I believe it's in that order too. If you learn to change in that order, I believe that you will begin to see life transformation. But it all starts in your spirit. You got to accept him first. You got to make that first step, that commitment to Christ. And I know some people may say, look at you and like, you got problems. You're not saved. You're like, hey, listen, only part of me's got problems because my spirit is 100% right. Amen. My mind is still a mess and my actions sometimes. So the problem that we have is that we do still have stinking thinking on some things. Am I right? Sometimes we've got things that our mind needs to be renewed. That's what the scripture says. So my spirit is right, but let's be honest, sometimes our mind's not right. Sometimes we're not thinking right. And so we need to change how we think. We need to change how we think. How do you do that? Because I believe when you change your mind, your understanding of what has already happened in your spirit, like, okay, this is who I am, this is who the scripture is, then it begins to change your actions eventually. Romans 12 says it this way, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, and I didn't notice this till this week. It says, give your bodies to God. Aren't we supposed to give our heart to God? Yeah. We are giving our heart. But he's saying, give your bodies to God, because that's where my mess is. My spirit is already good, right? But he's saying, give your bodies, because he has, because of all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Then he says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but check it out. Let God transform you into a new person by doing what? Changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So here's the thing. The more I understand what God has already done in my life by listening to the words, remember Hebrews, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more I allow God's word in, what God is slowly doing is rewiring how I think, yeah. Right? It's not like, okay, I got to think the right way. I got to think the right. It's not forcing yourself. The scripture says in Proverbs 23, for as a man thinks in himself, so he is. And so if I think I'm a failure, if I think I'm a loser, if I think all of that stuff, that's the way I will begin to act. But if you begin to say, hey, listen, I am the righteousness of God, I am holy before him, then that will begin to change things. So the more you're thinking, the more your mind lines up with what God did in your life, the more your life is going to naturally change. It starts spiritually. So if you try to change behavior before your mind is changed, how many of you know that's the reason most diets never work? Trying to change my behavior, you got to change your thinking. And so a lot of times people become Christians and they're like, okay, I better act the right way. I better do the right thing. And so we're trying to do behavior modification. I don't know if you realize that that never works, does it? You can't modify your behavior. You can do it short term, right? Anybody can do it short term, but long term, it doesn't happen. And so here's the fill in. Man is interested in behavior. Guess what? God is interested in belief. You allow your belief to begin to change, and then all of a sudden, everything else is going to change after that. Like I said, behavior modification doesn't work. Belief transformation, that's what we need. And that's only done. It's done spiritually. It's done as we give our life to the Lord, as we get into God's Word, as we listen to the preaching of God's Word. And I believe this, that the more your belief changes, the more your behavior will change. Amen? So if you believe it's okay to do all these things that you know are not glorifying to God, I can't just come up and say, well, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing it. Well, I believe it's okay. I believe it's okay to live in this sin. I believe it's okay to do that. Listen, I cannot change anybody. I don't know if you realize that. Sometimes we want to change that. How many of you like want to change your kids? If you got teenagers, you really want to change them. All right, change your behavior. And it's like, you notice it doesn't work. Like, you can threaten them all you want. They're still going to do what they want. It's not going to happen until their mindset begins to change. That's why it's so important that they would be in church, amen? That's why it's so important, because that's what's going to change things, amen? Here's the guarantee that God gives us out of Romans 4:16. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offsprings. We're Abraham's offsprings if we believe by faith. Amen? And it's a guarantee. How many of you know God's guarantee is the best guarantee? He's going to do that in our life. So let me give you one more fill-in, and I hope that this helps you, because when I struggle and do things and have bad attitudes and all of that stuff, what I do is I remember what God's already declared over my life. I don't go back and think, oh, yeah, you know what, you're right, enemy, I am this and I am that. No, I go back, wait a minute, God, you said I'm forgiven. Lord, you said that I am righteous. You said that I am whole. You said that I am justified. And if you do, 1 John 1:9, if we've sinned, we can confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And when I know that, then I don't have to walk around in guilt. I don't have to walk around in struggles. I don't have to walk around in all of that stuff. That was number two. Number three, we're almost done. Being righteous has significant benefits. I want you guys to get the benefits here. Our new identity, let me tell you, it affects every area of our life. Every area of our life. I love this. And I'm gonna end in Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to pick it up next week. And I want to encourage you don't want to miss next week, because this is going to be a good one next week. I mean, I feel like this is good today, too. But I'm just excited. I'm already anticipating next week. So anyway, Romans 5, it says this: therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done, and I love this, because of our faith, because you put your trust in him, look what it says, Christ has brought you into a place of undeserved privilege. You didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, that's what we call grace right there. God has brought you in, and it says this, where we now stand. How many of you know that's a present thing? Sometimes people think, oh, one day when I get to heaven, then I'll be in that presence. No, God has put you in a place of undeserved favor right now. Once you, and it's only by faith. That's the key to get in. We talked about faith is a key. And it says where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to the sharing of God's glory. Right? We don't have to be afraid. Oh, no. What's God going to do? We are in that place. So, let me give you the three results. The results of righteousness, number one, is that we have peace with God. Can I tell you, you are not an enemy of God? You don't have to fight against God. You're not in the place of trying to make God happy. Oh, I just want to make God happy. Let me do some good works here. No, you have got peace with God. Let me tell you, you don't have to smoke anything. You don't have to go to any location to get that kind of peace. God gives you that peace when you understand the righteousness that you have. Amen? We have, second one, access to God. Right? We have access to God. Residing in that place of undeserved privilege means that we are in God's presence. We don't have to be like, oh man, I can't wait to get to church to be able to talk to God. Or, you know, pastor, can you put in a word for the big man upstairs for me? Right? How many, I'm like, hey, he's standing right next to you. Right? You can talk to him yourself. I was telling our men's Bible study, just because I'm a pastor, I don't have the bat phone to God. We all have the bat phone, right? We got the God phone. Let me put it that way. So we have access. Hebrews says that we can boldly go into that throne. Amen. We can boldly receive the grace. I don't, you know, you don't go to God if you're carrying guilt, do you? You don't go to God if you're hanging on to your old identity of your sin and your failures. You're like, oh, I can't go. I can't go right now. Maybe later. Maybe later after I've cleaned myself up a little bit. No, listen, friends, because you are in the righteousness of God, you have access to God 24/7. Amen? Access to Him. And the last one is hope in God. Again, we don't have to have fear. It's like, I have hope. I have hope. I know this world is messy. I mean, can you guys imagine living on the East Coast and that devastation that they're going on? I want to tell you, those that have faith in God, even though they've lost homes and some family members, can I tell you, Christ can still put hope in the midst of that. Amen? Whoever wins the election this November, how many of you know my hope will never be shaken by that? Amen? My hope will not be shaken by that. Because I love the song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand, right? And so we can stand on Him. So you are the righteousness of God. And remember that nasty verse I gave you out of Isaiah about your righteousness? I wanted to redeem Isaiah with this verse right here, 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with a garment of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Amen? Yes, let's give the Lord a hand clap. That robe. Thank you, Lord. That robe is the righteousness of Christ. The Bible teaches that we make an exchange. It's like, hey, you can have my filthy garment, God, Jesus, and I get that robe of righteousness. We put on Christ. Amen? And let me just say, because I wanted to tie that in with these words, when you don't feel like you are the righteousness of God, there was an invitation to come to Him. Come to Him. And a lot of people stay back. Like the Israelites, when they were going on the mountain, they're like, ooh, I'm not going near that mountain. I'm not going up to God. And it's like they didn't have that righteousness. They didn't see that. And so as long as you don't understand who you are in Christ, then you're going to keep God at arm's distance. You're not. There's an invitation to come, and you're like, oh, maybe somebody can go for me. No, we need to come to Him and say, okay, God, I'm not coming on my own. I'm not coming in my own righteousness, but I'm coming in the righteousness that You imparted to me through Christ. Amen. How many of you realize this is a powerful truth that we need to hang on to? Because the world will try to take that away. You'll walk out the door today and somebody will say something, do something that'll start making you question who you are in Christ. And I want to encourage you, reject that and begin to make your declaration along with what God says about you. You are my righteous child. I've redeemed you. I've paid that price for you. And go forth in all the boldness that I've declared for you. Amen? Can I have everybody stand? I know we had a song, but can we do the On Christ the Solid Rock? Let's make that, and we don't have the words up there unless you can get them up there really quick. but it's a declaration. Just say, you know what, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And listen, I know some of our prayer team, that they are here. Listen, in the midst of while we're doing this, if you need prayer for anything, I want to give you that opportunity. And before we do lead into that, listen, I want to pray. Maybe you're here today and you're like, hey, listen, I've never given my life to the Lord, and I want to make that a fresh start today. I want to make that a fresh commitment today. Maybe you did, and you know you really walked away. Not just that you blew it this week. If you blew it this week, that doesn't mean you're not righteous. It means repent of your sin, move on. Amen. But if you need to make a fresh commitment to Him, I'm just going to ask you today, like just where you are, raise your hand and say, hey, listen, I want to make a commitment to Him today. I want to give my life to Him fresh, new, and make a fresh start in Him. If that's you, I'm just going to lead you in prayer on that. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's somebody at home. I don't know. Well, we're going to say that. Even if nobody raised their hand, maybe you're there. Can I tell you, God sees that. So can I just have you repeat this prayer? If somebody's watching online, you can say that too. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus to die for my sin, to take my unrighteousness. And Lord, you traded it for your righteousness. So today, I put on the righteousness of Christ, and I go forth with all the blessings that you've given me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, if you need prayer, come on up. There's several that will pray for you. Otherwise, we're going to sing, and then we will dismiss. Amen.